You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, October 25th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com, wrapping up the work week, and I have an admission to make. I'm actually recording this show the day before. I'm recording this on Thursday, but it will post up on Friday. I make that programming note just in case the world blows up on Friday morning, and in the smoldering ashes and the nuclear fallout coming from the sky and your last grasp of electricity and internet that's still available, and you check and you're like, GPD's talking about something completely off topic. He ain't even talking about the world has come to an end. He's behind the times. He's not keeping up. So if that happens, and if we happen to still be alive, the reason I'm not talking about it is because I am recording. I am recording a day early. Well, I brought a story in today, and this is going to be a little bit different. And the reason I think this would be interesting to get into is this gets into, I think we can get into a little bit of the heart of how Israel itself is quite the enigma. It's an enigma, and I think that branches from all of the lies that surround it. And we'll get into this as we go. But the story, this story is from the Times of Israel, and the headline is, Family of Fallen Soldier Told to Take Down Headstone Because It Has a Cross on It. So let's go ahead and get into this, and we'll kind of expand on it as we go, why I thought this would be something interesting to get into today. Because normally you would look at this story and just be like, well, that's internal Israel stuff. Why do we care about that? And I get that. But bear with me on this, because I think we can get into some very interesting points as we look at this and study and look at Israel as an enigma. So we'll go ahead and get into the story. The family of a soldier who was killed fighting in the Gaza Strip last year say they have been given an ultimatum to remove the headstone from his grave because it has a cross on it, or have his body reburied outside the Haifa military cemetery. The family of Staff Sergeant David Bogdanovsky told Hebrew media on Monday that they had received a letter from the Public Council for Commemoration of Fallen Soldiers in the Defense Ministry following an ongoing dispute that had seen his headstone covered with a black cloth for several months. Bogdanovsky, 19, was killed along with several of his comrades when an anti-tank guided missile hit a Namer armored engineering vehicle they were in southern Gaza's Khan Yunis in December. Now, as I said, getting into this, I can understand if a lot of y'all are scratching your heads going, why do we care? How is this relevant? This is an internal Israel thing. For starters, it's important here because a lot of the remaining support for Israel in the West, particularly in the United States, is from these, you know, as far as from the non-Jewish community, is from these evangelical people that think these are the Israelites of the Bible, and that, you know, we need to keep sending money and weapons to them because God's going to start blessing America just any day now, as if we'll just keep supporting Israel no matter what. This is one of the foundational levels of support that come from the U.S. This is one of the reasons why Republican candidates in particular will go out there and they're so unashamed of their unrelenting support for Israel because of this evangelical support. And of course, this evangelical support is 100% based on heresy and ignorance. They don't have any understanding of how this country operates. And it's not by accident. You are all aware of this promoting this false idea of quote-unquote Judeo-Christian values, and you'll hear these people. You'll see their preachers. You'll see them on TV, and they're the media commentators and people like Ben Shapiro. They love to promote this. You'll hear them. Our Judeo-Christian values. It's a part of our Judeo-Christian values. America and Israel, they're practically another state of the United States because we have these shared Judeo-Christian values. And like so many of these lies, they never give us a definition of that. You ever notice? They never get into exactly what are these shared values. Again, the support from the evangelical community is based on ignorance. They actually believe that these people, you know, basically studied the Old Testament and they just haven't come around to Jesus yet. But otherwise, they just go off of the Old Testament. 99.9% of y'all already understand that no, their religion is based more off of the Talmud. But it goes even further than this because you get into Israel itself. When you have an argument with somebody, and you always notice, you'll notice if, you know, when you see internet back and forth and whatever, and they will switch this back and forth. I used to call it the what is switch. You know, they will switch back and forth. What does it mean to be Jewish? Is it a race or is it a religion? And one of the things you will notice is this definition goes back and forth depending on the discussion at hand, depending on what the debate is over. They'll interchange them out. In one moment, being Jewish is a race, and the next minute, it's a religion. And this adds to this level of confusion. Whenever I've had times when you'd be discussing Israel and somebody would come back and say, their religion has, and it'd be like, I would ask them, is Israel a theocracy then? If being Jewish is a religion. And by the way, the Jewish people themselves do not hold it as a religion. That's a part of it. And we'll see that as we go through this story. But they themselves will tell you, no, we're a separate race. Israel is not a theocracy like you would think of, say, Iran as kind of based on more or less a theocracy. I mean, they at the head of it, you have the Ayatollah, and you would say, well, it's an Islamic Republic of Iran. It's kind of a theocracy, but again, they have regular government workings with that. But nobody thinks of that with Israel. And yet, it's not a theocracy, and they themselves will say it's race, but so many times they will also switch that out and say religion. And people understand it selectively, how they want to believe it, you know, how they want to understand it. And again, the reason I thought we'd bring this up and discuss it today is because of the level of ignorance, particularly among these evangelicals. They don't understand any of how this country functions over here and the way they view the religious aspect of it. I think a lot of this confusion comes from the fact that they do use it however is handy for them. The nation of Israel, this modern nation state of Israel, is based fundamentally. Hear me now. It's based fundamentally from the founding, when they set this up. It's based on a lie, which is the lie that these people have some sort of historical claim to that land. Virtually all of them come from various portions of Eastern Europe or other parts of the diaspora around the world. This idea they have a historical claim to this land is a beginning lie. And I always have found it interesting, if you look into the history of the Zionist movement, there was a segment of the Zionist movement that was absolutely against setting up their nation. They wanted to have a Jewish state, but they were very much opposed to setting it up here in the Middle East because they didn't want that confusion that this is, you know, something to do with the Bible. They wanted to set up somewhere else. And there was actually a dispute in the earlier days of Zionism over where they should set this up. One segment wanted to set it up here in the Middle East, but there were Zionists that were very much vehemently opposed to it. And there are some still, there's some segments of the Jewish community today that are opposed to the state of Israel. They don't think it should be there. So you see where they start off with this lie that there's a historical claim here. When you start off from a standpoint of something being untrue, you're going to wind up, you know, on a long enough time scale to keep it propped up with more lies. You know, it starts looking like a jumbled mess because you keep having to add another layer of lie, of untruth to it to try to keep the edifice propped up, if that makes sense. Let's go ahead and get back to the story. The Bogdanov, I can't say it right, these Ukrainian names, the Bogdanovsky family had immigrated from Ukraine to Israel in 2014. In a Facebook post, his mother defended the decision to put a cross on the headstone, saying, quote, David loved Israel from the bottom of his heart. The cross engraved on his headstone was an integral part of his personal identity and the faith in which he was raised. So they fled Ukraine before things could get really crazy and went to Israel. Talk about ultimately out of the frying pan into the fire. As you know, when before the Ukraine war really got kicked off, you know, a lot of Jews fled the Ukraine, and obviously this family went to Israel, figuring they would be safe. Lo and behold, you know, 19 years old, he gets killed in Gaza. Being from the Ukraine, you know, he wasn't actually practicing Judaism, and this gets into this, again, this enigma that makes up Israel. It's not a theocratic state. Obviously, they were able to immigrate to Israel from the Ukraine, and there wasn't a religious requirement. You see, it's a genetic requirement. There you get back to it's a race. And as I said, the Jewish people generally tell you, well, depending if you're debating with them or not, but generally if you read what they write amongst themselves, like today we're using Times of Israel, and they, you know, they will talk about that we're not a religion, we're a race, we're a separate race of people. They very open about this, at least amongst themselves. So they're able to immigrate, even though they're not practicing the Jewish religion. But now you have this situation, because they're not practicing Judaism, and they put a cross on this young man's headstone, now, you know, there's a bit of a kerfuffle over it. The family told Hebrew media that it was not clear to them why they were being singled out, claiming there were several other graves in the cemetery that bore crosses. The family are crushed. They cry nonstop and are in despair at the situation, a relative told Channel 12 News. They were told that if they don't take down the headstone, the grave would be moved. In Israel, where personal issues like marriage, divorce, and burial are governed by religious laws, cemeteries are generally separated by religion. Now, I want to stop right there because there's an interesting little facet here. In Israel, where personal issues like marriage, divorce, and burial are governed by religious law, cemeteries are separate. They're segregated by religions. How many evangelicals know about this? Segregated. Oh, in America, I thought segregation was like the worst thing in the world. I also find it interesting that in Israel, marriage and divorce are governed by religious law. Why don't we have that here? Many years ago, it was basically handled by the church, but now it's very much a government enforced thing. And yet in Israel, it's governed by religious law. And you see, you have this, it's a government, but when these certain other areas, it actually is overseen by religious law. Let's get back to the story. However, in 2013, the Knesset passed a law that enables the burial of non-Jewish soldiers alongside their Jewish comrades in military cemeteries, but they're all Jews. You see, when you keep this lie going back and forth, it's a religion, it's a race, it's a religion, it's a race. Well, if you want to immigrate to Israel, it's a race. So you take a DNA test, you show them your lineage, and you prove that you have the right to immigrate to Israel. But then when you're there, all of a sudden this religious aspect comes in, and now it's all about a religion. Enables the burial of non-Jewish soldiers, but he was Jewish. If he wasn't Jewish, they wouldn't have let him come to Israel. Look, if you or me or somebody from Somalia, Ethiopia, wherever the hell, if you go to Israel and say, I want to become an Israeli citizen, they're going to boot you out, maybe violently. Yeah, there was a deal years ago, y'all probably remember, where a bunch of Africans started migrating up there trying to claim they were actually, you know, they were Jews and they wanted to come to Israel. And they were treated quite harshly. There were even stories that some of them were sterilized before they were kicked out of the country, just to make a point. So I find this interesting that here in the story, they passed a law that enables the burying of non-Jewish soldiers along their Jewish comrades. But he's Jewish. They wouldn't have let him come to Israel if he wasn't Jewish. But see, now we're talking about Jewish as a religion. I think it's more understandable. I picked this article because it's kind of enlightening. It's a little more understandable why so many non-Jews are confused about it. Because apparently there's a certain amount of schizophrenic characteristics among their own population about what it means. They let him come to the country. They let him immigrate there, not because they felt sorry for him, but because he passed for being Jewish. So there wasn't a religious requirement. But yet when it comes to where he's going to be buried, they're like, oh, well, you're not a Jew. You're not practicing the religion. This gets confusing. And it seems like it doesn't make sense because it's all based on lies. It's all based on lies, starting the big lie that, again, they have some sort of historical claim on this country. The amendment to the law stated that, quote, any soldier who dies, including a soldier eligible for the rights under Article 4A of the Law of Return, and whose relatives choose to bury him in a military cemetery, shall be buried in the plot and row and directly alongside the soldiers already buried in the plot. The key phrase is the one that includes soldiers eligible for immigration rights under Article 4A of the Law of Return. That is, non-Jewish family members of Jews. In effect, the bill enables the burial of soldiers belonging to the 300,000-strong population of immigrants from the former Soviet Union who came to Israel as family members of immigrating Jews, even though they are not halakhically Halakhically, that tongue, it just, if you ever have a hard time pronouncing anything in their language, you just act like you're hawking something up. Halakhically. Though they're not halakhically Jewish alongside Jewish soldiers. Well, they have a right to return because they're genetically, their ancestry is Jewish. But then you get into this conflagration over the religious aspect. Let's go on, keep on rolling with this story. It's not clear to us why we are being asked, as there are several graves with crosses on them, the family member told Channel 12. Why specifically do we have to take down David's? The black marble headstone has an engraved picture of Bogdanovsky in his military uniform, along with his name written in the Ukrainian Cyrillic alphabet, his unit symbols, and a small cross. It sits above the standardized stone plaque that adorns all military graves in Israel. Now, like I say, this can seem confusing, but if you think about it, because if you have people that have, say, interracial marriages, and which are always difficult, but then you add to that, if there is a difference in religion. For instance, I live in Texas, and one of I may be incorrect because, you know, I don't live in the big cities where it's the other, but, you know, of course, on our TV, the number one interracial relationships, according to the TV, is black male, white female. And I'm sure in certain areas that, you know, that maybe holds some water. But here in Texas, if you had to ask me, I would say the most common interracial marriages and relationships are between Hispanics and whites. And I would say the male-female, there's not a tilt necessarily one way as far as it's, you know, Hispanic male or Hispanic female. I think it's probably runs about even. Now, generally speaking, though, everybody involved are still, when it comes to the religious aspect, they're still practicing Christian people. So, yeah, while you have an interracial relationship, and those are always going to have some extra, sometimes some extra difficulties just because of cultural differences and so on and so forth. But the fact that at least you have a common religion, you're all practicing Christians, this, makes things a little easier. Now, you take J.D. Vance just as somebody to use an example of, and he's married to a practicing Hindu Indian woman. You see, now you've added a real layer of complication. Interracial relationships are always going to be a little harder on a practical. I'm not getting into the morality of it. I'm talking on a practical matter. They're going to be difficult because of cultural differences. People have different ways and so on and so forth. But when you add the religion aspect, now he's got kids with his wife, obviously. And, so if he's not a Hindu, and she is, if you're in a relationship, I'm not going to use him because, he does this. But if you have a situation like this, a man marries an Indian woman, she's a practicing Hindu, he is not. You have kids together. What religion are you going to raise these kids in? You're going to have to pick. You see, this is a fundamental reason, and I don't really understand why people get married when you don't have at least that in common. Because to me, the religion you practice goes to a fundamental aspect of who you are. If, for instance, you're a white man and you marry an Indian woman and you've got kids together and she's a practicing Hindu and you're a practicing Christian, the kids are going to have to pick one religion or the other. They can't go back and forth. And these are the sort of things that you should take into consideration before you get married to somebody and have kids. If you have a different religion, even if you were not in an interracial relationship, if you're practicing two different religions, what are the kids going to be? Because if the kids, if you say, we're going to have the kids be Hindus. Well, where does that leave dad out? Is he a heretic? Is he practicing some form of heresy or whatever? And you can see this difficult position that it puts people in. This is where this whole idea of, you fall in love and you're just so overwhelmed with chemical reactions in your brain. Okay. You need to wait until you're past all of that and then start looking at things logically and going, wait, how would this work? We're practicing two different religions. She's not budging on hers. I'm not budging on my beliefs either. So what about any kids we have? They're going to have to pick a religion, and whichever one they pick, that basically frames one of their parents as some sort of heretic that's going to hell. You see the problem here. Now, this young man, his family immigrated to Israel because they were considered ethnically Jewish enough to qualify to come there. But they come from the Ukraine. So this young man was not practicing Judaism. I'm sure he was Orthodox coming from Ukraine. He was Christian one way or the other. He was practicing the Christian religion. So you go to Israel, probably thinking it's not a theocracy, but obviously there are theocratic elements to it. And we'll continue with the story here in just a minute. And you see, you've got all of these problems. In response, the defense ministry said it had been in a long-standing consultation with the family to find a solution because the headstone violates military cemetery regulation that bars crosses or other religious symbols. It said that it had received complaints from families of Jewish soldiers buried nearby who said that the presence of the cross, quote, offends them and harms their ability to pray and say the Kaddish morning prayer. I guess these Israelis haven't heard about Judeo-Christian values. They're offended at just, and I mean, it's not like they set up a giant cross-shaped tombstone that looms over the cemetery. I plan on using the picture of the grave marker for the show, but just seeing that utterly offends them. They probably spit when they go by, because that's something they do over there. Many of you have probably heard about this. Another part of our so-called Judeo-Christian values. They just see this cross there. Never mind. Never mind, he died quote unquote fighting for their country. I mean, we're not going to get off into that whole territory, but you know, from their perspective, he came there from Ukraine. I'm assuming drafted. He might have volunteered. He wound up in their military, got sent into the war zone, and got killed. But because there's a cross there, it doesn't matter. They're offended by the very sight of that cross. Remember, you've got idiots around here that'll still run around and talk about our Judeo-Christian values. I say a lot of Jewish media personalities here love to use that term. They whip that term out on people, Judeo-Christian values. How would they like to explain? I'd love to hear one of these people explain how this fits in with these so-called Judeo-Christian values. Have these evangelical heretics that try to promote this idea, oh, they're just like us, except they study your Old Testament. They got the King James Version. They just go through the Old Testament. They just don't do the New Testament. I would love to hear them explain how somebody is so like a vampire with the cross, you know, they can't just let it go. You know, how many of you, if you went to the cemetery to visit the graves of one of your loved ones, much less a military grave, you go to the military cemetery, your loved one went over to some stupid war they had no business being in and got killed, but you know, they're your loved ones, so you're honoring them, and you're going to go and you're going to lay some flowers on their grave. And you go and lay a flowers on their grave, and right next to it, there's some other soldier buried, and you got a big Star David on there. How many of you are going to raise hell about that? I'm not. I'm not going to care. I'm going to care if they walk by and spit at me, but I'm assuming they wouldn't do that since it's not in Israel. But the point here is, who does that? Who is so offended? Same thing. If I went to the military cemetery and somebody I know or loved or cared about is buried there, and right next to it, there's you know, an Islamic grave, I'm not going to care. I'm not going to be bothered by that. It's not going to stop me from saying prayers if I want to say prayers. There's not like some magical power just, oh my gosh, it's beaming into my head. And yet, here we are. Let's finish this article out. It also noted that the chief military rabbi had ruled that the cross harms the sanctity of the cemetery. As such, we have been involved for a long time with the Bogdanovsky family in honest, heartfelt discussions to reach an agreement. The ministry said, adding that it still hoped to reach a compromise. Well, it doesn't sound like a lot of compromise. You either move the headstone or they're going to dig his body. They're going to dig his body up. Now, I find it interesting. It makes mention that, you know, one of the technical rules is no religious symbols, but then they turn around and the chief military rabbi is the one who rules on this and says, oh, it harms the very sanctity of the cemetery. Having a cross there, how dare you? Now, as I say, on the surface, this is an internal matter. I mean, in the long run, doesn't make any difference to me. But what I do think is relevant, the next time you're listening to the radio, you turn on the TV, and one of these shills is on there, and you hear them vomit this phrase about our Judeo-Christian values. Remember the people that talk about being Christians over there and they get spit on by these people. Remember this young man who's ethnically Jewish and goes over there and they're threatening to dig his grave up because they have a nerve to put a cross on his tombstone, and he's a Jew. Went and died in the Gaza Strip. And they're threatening to take his body up because the head rabbi says so. Remember that next time they want to talk to you about our Judeo and talk about our only democracy in the Middle East, and they're just like us, and they're just like they're the only democracy in the Middle East. They're just like a beacon. They're just like a miniature United States or something right there. Just plucky little Israel fighting for its survival amongst all these hostile, religious, fanatic Muslims in the area. Remember it. Because in this aspect, in this context, it is relevant. This whole edifice of this entire country over there is built on lies. The historical claim to the land. And then you have religious elements, and then you have ethnic, you know, racial elements, and they all get mixed together. Where does the line end between the ethnic part and the religious part? Because it seems kind of blurred, and that makes sense, because so much of what makes up this nation state of Israel is based on lies, and you're always going to wind up with these weird contradictions when so much of it's been cobbled together with all of these different lies. To me, and I'm no expert, you know, I'm just from the outside looking in, and as non-Jews, we're always, when you're looking at something like Israel, you're always going to be on the outside looking in. But from the outside looking in, it looks to me that Israel, as an ethnic, and they themselves call it an ethnic Jewish state. They'll stand there at the UN and talk about the importance of Israel as an ethnic Jewish state. No one else has got the right, apparently, to have an ethnic state. That's an evil thing, but it's special for them. It seems to me, as an ethnic Jewish state, it seems to me the religion aspect is a way to keep the people in line. That's what it looks like to me. And again, I'm no expert. I would tell you right now, I'm probably speaking out of just pure ignorance, but just this is what it looks like to me. From the outside looking in, you have an ethnic Jewish state. That's what they claim it is. They themselves claim it. That's not me. That's them. They say that. They go to the UN and talk about the importance of it. But it seems to me the religious aspect, because it's so prominent in the way the government is functioning, and different aspects of society, it seems to me the religion actually forms a basis of making sure, as an arm of enforcement, as an arm of keeping the people in line. So what do you come back to? Is it a theocracy? Is it my only democracy in the Middle East, just like Western liberal democracy? And the answer is, some of the above, none of the above. Basically, it's an enigma. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you get a chance to check out all of our content we've put up Monday through Friday this week. Maybe you'll get a chance, if you haven't so far, download it. Catch up. We'll catch up. I plan to be back on Monday, hopefully, if things work out. If not, I will definitely be here Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots program next week. So, again, enjoy your weekend, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.